Let us turn our Bibles back to John chapter 13. Our subject this afternoon is Christ's new commandment. And the text is from John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I'm going to speak firstly on the title of this commandment, which our Lord Jesus called a new commandment. Secondly, we're going to look at the example by which Christ expounded this commandment. And thirdly, or rather, this commandment that Jesus gave, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And then thirdly, we want to see the result or the purpose of Christ giving us or commanding us to keep this commandment. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. So firstly, we begin by asking the title of this new commandment. Why did Jesus title it a new commandment? Is it not included in already the 10th commandment? I'm sure you know how Christ approved the young lawyer's summary of the 10 commandments in Luke chapter 10 verse 27, where he says, "Thou shalt," or he replied the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." How then is this a new commandment, that ye love one another? Well, I submit to you that firstly, it is new as to the extent of the love. To the extent of the love. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we are to love our fellow Christians, our fellow believers, as Christ loved us. And that is far more than we love ourselves. Christ loved us so much. How much? He gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for us, unworthy, sinful, evil, wicked sinners. So that as a Christian believer, I am to love my fellow Christian, even as Christ who died for me has loved me. This is a nobler kind of love altogether to the love which are to be manifested to our neighbors. It is a higher degree of love that we extend to our neighbor. To love our neighbors is the love of benevolence. But to love our fellow Christians is the love of affinity and close, intimate relationship. And it involves a higher degree of self-sacrifice than what was already prescribed by the law of Moses in the Old Testament, or a higher degree of than what was most of us human beings would have understood by the precepts which command us to love even as we love ourselves. Furthermore, it is a new commandment not only to the extent or the extent of it, but because it is backed by a new reason. A new reason. The Old Testament, so to speak, was backed by this declaration, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So, the Israelite, the Jew in Old Testament time, was to obey that law because of the redemption which God in his mercy had wrought and brought them out of Egypt. Here, however, we are commanded to love one another because Christ, our Savior, has redeemed us from a far worse bondage than that of Egypt, and with a far costlier sacrifice, that of his own life and blood, than the offering up of countless numbers of paschal lambs of animal sacrifices. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He has brought us out from under the yoke, or the iron yoke of sin, of bondage, of guilt, and Satan, and has broken that bondage. Our enemies have pursued us, but Christ has destroyed them at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Christ has redeemed us with his own heart's blood. And therefore, his new commandment comes to us, the Christian believers, with the greatest possible force, that you love one another as I have loved you. Moreover, it is a new commandment because it is a new love. New love meaning this new love springs or flow out of or flow out from a new nature which Christ created in us. I am bound as a man to love my fellow man because he is a man. But I am bound as a regenerate sinner by the Spirit of God to love my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ still more because he or she is also regenerate by the self same Spirit. As it is true that if we are of the world will love us, as we are told in Scripture, the world will love its own. So it is also true that if we are of the Spirit will love his own. The whole redeemed family of Christ is firmly bound together. Born of God ourselves, we keep what? Looking out for one another. We look out for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have been born again also like us, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And when we do see them, it should invoke in us. We cannot help but loving them, isn't it? Because we indwell in, within us, we have the self, same Spirit, the Spirit of God. Brethren, do we really, truly, sincerely love one another as fellow Christians with the love of Jesus? I trust you understand now that the love which Christ commands his disciples to have towards one another is not the ordinary love of man to man as such, but the love of newborn man, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The love of a newborn man to the newborn man. The love of a newborn woman to the newborn woman. Let us who love the Lord Jesus love each other fervently in that sense. This is a love which arises out of a totally new union. This is a love arises out of a totally new union. A man or a woman who is a Christian belongs to a very special family. That family circle is a family inside the larger human family, yet separated from it by an inner spiritual life. Within that sacred circle of electing love, all relationship of nationality, of ethnicity, are all divided forever, broken down. There we are all, in that family, in that special family, We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are brethren, beloved, because in Christ we are all in one family, bought by the blood of Christ, redeemed by the love of Jesus. And hence it is that we are called to a new kind of love, a love which is like the love of the brothers of the same house, only more sublime, and with better reason lying at the bottom than even the love of the same ancestor can boast. Brethren, if you are a true Christian, you will not have the love of the world. You cannot have it, and they will not love you. They will be sure to ridicule you, to scorn you, to laugh at you, to reject you, to call you a fool. To call you a fool to be a Christian, or call you, or name you with all kinds of names. Well then, let every genuine Christian cling more closely to one another. Brethren, whatever the world or whatever opposition the world throws at you, whatever opposition you meet from the world, let those opposition drive you into a firmer bond of love one for another in Christ. And more than that, Christ's commandment is new because it is a preparation for future prospects than we have ever enjoyed before. It is in preparation for future prospect that it is why it is called a new commandment. You see, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, where are we going to live at the end of our life? We are going to live together in heaven, together with the Lord Jesus, forever and ever. And so may we as well, right now, be good friends while we are here in this life, because we shall see each other there on the other side of eternity, on the other side of the grave, in one common glory, and be occupied together forever in one common employment, and that is to worship, to adore, and to praise our Redeemer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master. So, brethren, the remembrance of this truth ought to break down many of the barriers which at present exist in so many churches, so many community of believers, which is a sad fact in many churches, isn't it? Even in our own. Never, brethren, never judge our fellow Christians by their outward appearance. Nor by their clothes they wear, but by what they are in themselves. It is a man's heart, and above all, it is the grace of God that dwells within the man's heart that you and I, as Christian believers, are to prize and love. And so may God help us. We need the help of God to do this, so that we may fulfill the law. Romans 13 verse 8. Now I must move on to my second point, which is Christ. Christ exemplified this new commandment. The Lord Jesus expounded this commandment by His own example. Listen to what He said. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another, as I have loved you. To put it in our contemporary term, it is to walk the talk, or practice what you preach. First, we see Jesus' example of unselfish love. Look at how Jesus loved His disciples. He loved them unselfishly. He certainly had nothing to gain from His disciples. They have much to gain from Him. by associating with him, but Jesus has nothing to gain from them by associating himself with them, and nothing to learn from them, nothing to gain from them. It is true that Jesus used them to help or to advance the kingdom, or rather the gospel, but he first made them suitable or fit to be used. He owed them nothing, but they owe him everything. There was nothing in them when he first called them to be his disciples. And to the very last, there was nothing good in them except what his grace had put in them. Christians, you also are to love one another, not because of the gain that you can get from one another or out of one another, but rather because of the good you can do to one another for Jesus' sake and for the name of Christ. If you want to love a man, what do? You must not get him to do you kindness, but you must do kindness to him. Then you will love him. You cannot do good to another person without finding or welling up in you, in your heart, some degree of interest in the person to whom you have done that good. It is possible, humanly speaking, possible that a child may forget his or her father, his father or mother, forget the parents, forget that it is the parents who give them life, give them nourishment and all the comforts of its infancy from its parents. They may forget that. But the father, the mother, does not forget that he or she fed the child who was weak and brought up the child to strength. If you want to love a person, do some loving thing for that person, and love will so spring up in your soul to that person. Our Lord Jesus loved his disciples unselfishly, and so let us do the same to our fellow Christians. Next example, Christ loved his disciples very trustingly. Very trustingly, though of course we know that Christ was not unwise and put no confidence in man, because we know from Scripture that the Lord Jesus, who is God, knows the hearts of all men. Acts 1:24. Yet our Lord Jesus was prepared, you can put it this way, what was prepared to give the benefit of doubt, so to speak, in our modern term. Yet our Lord Jesus never put on an armor, a shield with his disciples. Christ opened his heart to them and tells them many things and teaches them many things that he does not tell to others. Remember the words of Jesus in John 15 verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his master does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And Jesus is more than a friend to us. He is our Heavenly Father. He is our Savior, our resurrected Savior. He is our Redeemer. And so it is a shameful thing for Christians who are always suspecting or critical or judgmental of fellow Christians. These are like what Jesus described to us in Matthew 7 verse 3. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Verse 4, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. And verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So if you think evil of other people, the sin is probably in yourself. and not in the other person. If there is any place, brethren, where Christian believers are quite at home, where would it be? It ought to be among God's own people, God's redeemed children, God's redeemed community. There must be a hearty, sincere spirit of truthfulness between those who love the same Christ, or else, a lasting union, a lasting friendship, a lasting bond is impossible. Once more, our Lord Jesus loved his disciples not only trustingly, but also practically, sympathetically, and patiently. His love did not consist in the mere emotion of transcend emotion or in kind words only, but he loved them deeply. He knows them true and true, and he shared all that he had with them. He even condescended, as what we see in fact in the earlier part of this scripture in chapter 13, verse 3 to 5 or to 6 and even to verse 7, condescended to do what? To wash the disciples' feet as though he had them as their servant. What more could he do for them? Yet he did far more. The Lord Jesus did far more than washing the feet of his disciples. He laid down his life for them. He gave up all that he had. He gave up all, in theological language we call it, he emptied himself of all his glory, of all his power. He gave them up all to the members of his body, all the faculties of his soul, his entire nature. For what? That he might save them, that he might redeem them and bring them back to himself. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. As I have loved you, says Jesus, even so love ye one another. Let every true Christian, if you call yourself one or claim to be one, let us have the grace to follow where the path is so plainly and clearly marked out for us by the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now I come to the third part, the third point, which is the outcome of this commandment. By this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Among all the people who know that we are Christ's disciples, there is one very important person. Who is that person? That's yourself. If you have love towards Christ's disciples, you will know that you are one of his disciples. Listen to how the Apostle John puts it. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How do you know, or one of the evidence, that you are truly a born-again believer, a true, genuine Christian? Because we love the brethren. 1 John 3:14. It will be one of the clearest evidences to your own heart that you are truly, really, a disciple of the Lord Jesus when you realize that, for Jesus' sake, for his name's sake, for the glory of God, you love the whole redeemed family of God. By this mark, by this test, all men shall know that you are Christ's disciple. And you shall begin by knowing it, firstly, yourself. By this test shall your fellow Christians also know you, that you are Jesus' disciples. There is nothing that truly commends a Christian to his fellow Christians than a true spirit of sincere, unpretend Christian love. When Jesus says here, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, he is saying to us that the outside world will know it. Or we can put it in another way, the unbelievers, the heathens will know it. The people around us will know that we are Jesus' disciple if we have love one to another. And that is the surest way. The surest way to impact the world is when every Christian truly loves one another as Jesus has loved them. Dear brethren, no sermon can be so eloquent or appealing to the world as a true manifestation of the love of Christ among God's people. I repeat, no sermon can be so eloquent to the world as a true manifestation or expression of the love of Christ among God's people. And when God restores to us, His people, His church, genuine, hearty, sincere Christian love, with no pretense or dissimulation in the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans, let our fellowship be without dissimulation, meaning to say pretense. When God do that and restore it to us, then the world, the people of the world, will be or would be more impressed by the gospel than it is what we see today. Then, indeed, God in His mercy, we shall see what? Many of these, our empty pews, be filled up with people. If you love not one another, surely you do not have the love of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. But if you are knitted together in genuine Christian love, then is our joy fulfilled in you, and Christ also rejoices in you. I have a final word here before I end. For those who are not in the family of love, those who are not in the family of Christ's love, it must be a very, very sad thing not to be a member of God's covenant family. Because in God's covenant family, the rule of love, there is a rule of love. And where the distinguishing mark of that family, of God's family, every member of God's family, what is that distinguishing mark? They love one another. And if it is true that you do not belong to the family of Christ, then you must be, and I know you may not like to hear it, then you must be a member of Satan's family, a member of the devil's family. There are two seeds in the world, S-E-E-D-S, two seeds in the world. And if you do not belong to Christ, the living seed, you belong to the serpent seed. It is not my word, it is from Scripture. Woe to the man, woe to the woman who is not of the family of God. Egypt, if you can recall in the Old Testament, Egypt had to cry and wail on that very night when the children of Israel, beneath the blood-sprinkled lintel, could afford to sing and shout. And when the day comes for God to let loose the angel of judgment upon you, oh my friends, woe unto you unless you belong to the family of love. You belong to the host of the living God. So, take heed. Think about it very carefully. If you are drawn by the love of Christ now, then by faith, put your trust in Him as your Savior. And soon, the Holy Spirit will begin that work in you, and you will learn to love. You will learn to love fellow Christians. And you rely upon the Lord Jesus, your Savior. And you will then feel an affection one for another, for those who are also like you, bought by the blood of Christ. Commit yourself to Him right now, my dear friends. If you are outside of the kingdom of God, outside of Christ's family of love, I urge you, I beseech you, turn to the Lord Jesus. Commit yourself to Him now into the hands that were pierced for you, the sinner, and you will soon, joyfully give a loving embrace to those whom Christ also died and redeemed, and who shed His blood for them. And so may all of us who are in Christ meet in heaven, where love reigns supreme, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we plead for Thy Spirit to do this work in us. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we have fallen short. We do not deny the fact, and we bear our hearts open to Thee, and Thou knowest the hearts of all men, and we confess indeed that we have not loved one another with the love of Jesus, and oftentimes we are at odds one with another, with no love, impatient with one another, unwilling to forgive and forbear with one another. Oh Lord, forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again, Lord Jesus, by Thy shed blood. Create in us a heart that is after Thy heart. Create in us a heart filled with the love of Christ, that we may love, truly love one another without pretense, as Christ so loved us. So help us, we pray, as You have graciously given us a new week. O Lord, we pray that we will indeed live out that love of Christ in our hearts, that others truly may see Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.